Welcome to another episode of the Narrated Lore series. Today we're exploring the mysterious history of the death corps of Krieg, and why their name alone is enough to send shivers down the spines of friends and foes alike. Little is known about the infamous people of Krieg. The information reviewed today was gathered from various publications and edited to be better suited for narration. With all that being said, please enjoy. The world known as Krieg is shrouded in rumor and dark myth. Much of its dreadful history has been obscured and lost. The wilderness of ruined cities that span this blasted and poison-choked world point to it being a thriving hive world in the past, a trading and manufacturing center populated by billions. The rulers of this world, the Council of Autocrats, were bloated with wealth, corrupt with indolence, petty vendetta, and vice. They became increasingly insular and debauched. The autocrats' paranoia over outside threats to their dictatorial rule caused them to plow vast resources into strengthening the defenses of their hive cities, building private armies, and further surrounding their world with an outward-facing ring of steel. Even worse, the autocrats grew to resent the influence of the administratum on their world, and in particular the heavy tithes levied on them by the Departamento Munitorum, taking resources they protested were vital to their own defense. The citizens of Krieg were sadly ignorant of these slowly spiraling events, and the terrible ruin the misrule of their leaders was about to bring down on them. For Krieg, the end came in the year 433 of the 40th millennium, when the High Autocrat of Krieg's largest hive, the Council Chairman and de facto Planetary Governor, a man so hated that his name has been purged from all records, declared planetary-wide martial law and seceded his world from the Imperium. Civil war came suddenly and violently to Krieg. Much of the world quickly capitulated to the rebels' power. After the initial rebel attacks, only Hive Ferrograd remained under loyalist control, since the Krieg 83rd Imperial Guard Regiment, under the command of Colonel Jurton, was in the final stages of being mustered at Ferrograd. In response to the revolt, Colonel Jurton moved quickly to organize a coup and take control of the Hive City from its wavering rulers. With the veteran colonel at its helm, Ferrograd rapidly became the rallying point for the remaining loyalist factions. The situation for the loyalists was dire. The rebel forces numbered in millions, and Ferrograd was soon cut off and besieged. To make matters worse, the loyalists were on their own. The planetary defenses were under the traitor's control, and strong enough that a full-scale fleet action would be required to breach them. Jurton had been informed that a fleet powerful enough to invade Krieg was simply not available. Colonel Jurton's orders were to resist with all the means at his disposal, to engage the enemy, to punish their treachery and emerge victorious, whatever the cost. Faced with the horrific odds stacked against him, Jurton came to the fateful decision that the world of Krieg would belong to the Emperor, or it would belong to no one. On the feast of the Emperor's ascension, Jurton unleashed his long-planned counterattack. Scores of long-range missiles roared forth from the heart of Ferrograd. The traitors helplessly watched their sensors as Jurton's rockets arced high into the planet's stratosphere before detonating in blooms of blinding light, unleashing tons of lethal isotopes which blanketed the entire world in deadly fallout. For days, the atmosphere became a sea of nuclear fire. Under Jurton's attack, the planet's ecosystem failed. The air was poisoned, and Krieg's climate collapsed into storms that spanned continents. The raging fires blocked out the sun, and a nuclear winter engulfed Krieg. As a result, untold billions died. Those who did not perish took to their fallout shelters, and began a new subterranean existence. To future generations who would live with the consequences of the atomic attack, Jurton's plan would come to be known as the Purging. Krieg might have been wrecked, but the Purging had evened up the odds. The Loyalists had been well prepared for the attack, and the traitors suffered terribly. But the civil war would go on. Krieg's nightmare had only just begun. To the Imperial authorities, Krieg was a prize no longer worth saving. Its fate, a red mark in the ledgers of the Administratum. Krieg became a man-made death world, trapped in the freezing grip of a radioactive nuclear winter. The war between secessionist and loyalist devolved into a pitiless, bloody war of attrition. Every inch of ground grew to be littered with trench work, rusting razor wire and shell craters. Drifting fallout ash shrouded the numberless bones of the unburied dead. It is doubtful that the full truth of those long and terrible centuries of civil war will ever be known. Jurton finally perished. How it happened is not known, but the descendants of those that followed him lived on. They became as fearless as they were callous. War was all they would ever know, and they were raised from birth to fight. The men that advanced through the wastelands of Krieg became known as the Death Corps. They existed only to endure the hellish planetary surface and to kill in the Emperor's name. Through 15 generations of terrible bloody attrition, the Loyalists slowly retook their blasted world in the name of the Emperor. Trench by trench, tunnel by tunnel, with bayonet, brutality, and when needed, atomic fire. After more than 500 years of the most nightmarish warfare imaginable, and an incalculable price paid in human life and suffering, Krieg belonged to the Death Corps. When Krieg was officially returned to the Imperial fold in year 949 of the 40th millennium, the event was greeted with little fanfare or regard. The grinding Leviathan of Departamento Munitorum, however, took note. Krieg was in debt, and so a new tithe of men for the Imperial Guard was placed upon them. The adepts were surprised when the Krieg authorities offered them not one, but 20 regiments for immediate deployment. All were formed, trained, and equipped, and each commander requested the most hazardous war zones available. Beneath Krieg's blasted exterior, entire subterranean cities had been founded. Tens of thousands of miles of bunkers and passageways were dug. A vast underworld of industry and manufacture was propped up, geared specifically to the production of arms and equipment. But most of all, to the production of soldiers. Soldiers who proved to be as stern as the factory lines that armed them, and as pitiless as their blasted radioactive world. The Departamento Munitorum acted quickly. The need for soldiers was immediate, and these new Death Corps regiments were inducted into the Imperial Guard, having been reorganized and issued with commissars before being sent straight to the fray. Their deployment proved an immediate success. They proved especially superior to other regiments in war zones that mirrored the horrific state of Krieg itself. Imperial generals quickly learned that by deploying the Death Corps on such worlds, stalemates could be broken and advances achieved that otherwise would have required the massive expenditure of penal legion troops or the use of valuable elite forces such as the Adeptus Astartes. Krieg was taken directly under the authority of the Departamento Munitorum, and an Adeptus Mechanicus delegation arrived to review the planet's production techniques. The maximum tithe levels were enforced. Krieg's sole purpose was to churn out Death Corps soldiers, as another world might mine ore or sow wheat. By the direct order of the Lords of Terror, nothing was to be allowed to interfere with this purpose. This has resulted in questionable practices being tolerated, such as the eugenic policies designed to weed out mutants caused by Krieg's damaged biosphere or universal conscription. These are simply continuations of Krieg's centuries of civil war. Other methods, such as the enforced use of artificial womb birthing techniques, are little known outside of the Adeptus biologists, and are seen as dangerous and abhorrent by many. As Krieg stands today, it is a true war world. Its tithes are the maximum possible for the planet's population, raising tens of regiments every year, where a comparable sized world might be expected to provide one regiment every decade. The rate of attrition and destruction among these regiments is likewise disproportionately high, as they are assigned to some of the most hazardous battlefields and dangerous worlds known to man. The Death Corps have proved to be extremely effective troops, and while still only human, they have proved capable of achieving victories against the odds by sacrifice, endurance, aggression, and unbreakable loyalty. Despite their service record, Krieg units are not well liked by their fellow Imperial Guard commanders. But, as it stands, the Imperium of Man has dire need of these soldiers, and the use and number of Krieg Death Corps regiments is rising, as are the resources being devoted to their creation. While the harsh training methods, doctrines, and organization of the Death Corps regiments are not particularly unique among the Imperial Guard, they are both unorthodox and extreme in their application. Almost from birth, they are selected, tested, and relentlessly trained for their appointed role as guardsmen. Rates of fatality and injury during training are high. Fear and weakness are not tolerated. And the minds and characters of the young prospects are purposefully broken and remade stronger, just as their bodies are trained to withstand hardship and endure suffering that would kill others. A task already begun by the mere facts of life on Blighted Krieg itself. Those that survive to the last stages of their training must face their final and most arduous test, the toxic wastelands of Krieg's planetary surface. Krieg is as deadly in its own way as any world known to man. No part of its war-blasted wasteland has ever been reclaimed. The surface stands as a testament to their long struggle. It is a barren desert of smashed cities, ash wastes, rad zones, and fallout storms. Amongst the wreckage of old battlefields, the training regiments march, dig trenches, clear minefields, and fight mock battles against other cadets. Only those that endure are judged fit enough to take their place as members of the Death Corps. During its Great War, if Krieg society was to survive, it could not afford to sustain its weakest members. Sacrifices had to be made, and no sacrifice was too high a price to pay in the Emperor's service. This mindset still permeates every aspect of the Death Corps' combat doctrine and organization. The character and tactical doctrine of the Krieg soldier is a legacy of its civil war. Having been raised only to fight and being surrounded with nothing but battle, generations of Krieg came to see death in the name of the Emperor as their ultimate goal. This attitude remains today. Krieg guardsmen are willing to die as a sacrifice to the Emperor. To the Departamento Munitorum, a Krieg soldier is a weapon to be used and expended as needed. To the Krieg commanders, battles are won by the merciless application of overwhelming force. Their doctrine dictates that any battle where their capacity to fight and willingness to die exceeds that of their enemy is a battle already won. Everything else is merely a matter of time and attrition. Faith in the Emperor is instilled in the soldier from an early age. These established patterns of worship serve to amplify the culture of willing sacrifice and militancy. They've become known as the cult of sacrifice amongst the ecclesiarchy. Regiments are raised on Krieg with great frequency. The form and composition of these regiments will differ according to the edicts of the Departamento Munitorum and the strategic needs of the moment. Krieg supplies the manpower. The Departamento Munitorum organizes it into various types of regiments. Infantry regiments, mechanized infantry, and tank regiments are all known, but by far the most common use of Krieg manpower is as siege regiments. In these formations, the death cause philosophy of total war reaches its ultimate expression. These siege regiments operate on the principle of sustained artillery bombardments, followed by a massive and unrelenting infantry assault, conducted to destroy the enemy by pure attrition. What makes Death Corps of Krieg regiments distinct, however, is not their equipment, but their mentality. Regardless of their assigned role, they retain the Death Corps' strengths of discipline, endurance, expertise in trench warfare, and most notably their tolerance for high attrition rates and environmental hazards. These regiments are organized and formed to engage in attritional trench warfare. In the siege regiments, each Death Corps soldier is an element of the greater whole, a pebble that goes to make up an avalanche to crush the enemy, grinding waves of men willing to die to achieve their objectives. The guardsman himself is the primary weapon, each able to maintain discipline and act in accordance with orders, regardless of the odds, casualties, or hardship. The fundamental doctrine of the siege regiment is to push forward at all costs, to take the fight to the enemy, and to kill until no enemy remains. Armor, heavy weaponry, and field artillery, such as mortars, are extensively deployed in supporting roles. Reliance on relatively light transport vehicles is seen as a liability, particularly when engaging positions where large quantities of heavy weapons are present. As a result, the usually commonplace Chimera is largely abandoned in favor of the much heavier and more durable Gorgon transport tanks used for direct breaching attacks, and the lighter Centaur for rapid deployment of mobile artillery and grenadier forces. Armor and tanks utilized by the Death Corps will normally be heavily modified to better cope with hazardous terrain and prolonged exposure to environmental damage. As a constant press of force is paramount to the all-out attacking style favored by the siege regiments, man-portable heavy weapons, whose deployment can stagger the pace of advance, are usually concentrated in separate detachments to avoid this difficulty. The firepower of these heavy weapon squads can then be focused to support the infantry and protect the flanks of an assault force, as well as quickly deploy to fortify vital trench positions against counterattacks. The chain of command within the siege regiments follows the standard Imperial Guard pattern, with recognizable platoon and company structures of junior and senior officers, although they strongly emphasize large masses of infantry compared to most regular Imperial Guard formations. Where several siege regiments are grouped together for the same front, they form a line corps, with several line corps forming an army. Regiments may also serve in assault corps, with an additional concentration of tanks and Gorgon transports used to add weight to an offensive and to exploit breakthroughs. The best strategic use of a siege regiment is a simple and unsubtle battering ram of manpower. In action, these attacking columns consist of massed soldiery, spear-tipped by armored grenadiers, thousands of Death Corps troops in human waves, advancing first in dispersed formation, closing ranks as they near with the enemy line to unleash disciplined volleys of lasfire before storming trenches and defended sections. The sight alone of the seemingly numberless, ordered and sinister ranks of the Death Corps advancing, faceless in their rebreathers over no man's land, or seemingly materializing from nowhere out of a smoke barrage, has put more than one defender to flight before a shot has been fired. Krieg Krieg regiments operate the recognizable command structure laid down by the Departamento Munitorum, with some minor local variation in insignia and designation. One example being that infantry sergeants are known by the title Watchmaster, whilst sergeants of the Death Rider companies are known as Ridemasters. Death Corps officers, right up to the level of regimental command, typically lead and fight from the front. This is not so much a conscious decision, but a simple expression of the Death Corps mentality, as every guardsman expects to fight and die for his emperor. To this end, officers commonly equip themselves for the front line with grenades, powerful sidearms, and either a chainsword or power sword. Unlike many other regiments that draw on a long-standing militarized culture, Krieg itself has no standing aristocracy or hereditary officer class. Instead, its officers are drawn from the body of the rank and file. This means that the majority of the officer cadre has been promoted through the ranks, thanks to a mixture of ability, seniority, and often by dint of simple survival. As veterans of the Death Corps way of war, they coldly regard casualties with no more concern than a tally of expended ammunition stores. Their attitudes toward warfare are almost mechanical in nature. This has in the past led to morale problems, where senior Krieg officers have been placed in charge of other non-Krieg regiments in a wider theater of war. It is also a noticeable feature of Krieg officer battle dress that Krieg regiments do not issue medals or decorations. To Krieg soldiers, such rewards are insignificant. Bravery is expected and commonplace. Individual guardsmen do not matter, and as such are not recognized with special rewards. As might be expected, Commissars are present in Death Corps regiments, as mandated by Departamento Munitorum regulations. They are the only non-Krieg natives to serve. Owing to the relatively low rates of infraction and morale problems among Death Corps regiments, they more often find themselves employed in reining in any excessive zeal on the part of the troops and act as tactical advisors rather than enforcers of discipline. Indeed, a commissar is often well placed to become a voice of restraint for Death Corps officers, reinforcing the wider strategic goals of the war zone over short-term victories through expenditure of men and material that might be needed later. In theaters of war where Death Corps regiments must fight alongside other Imperial formations, the commissars attached to Death Corps staff also find it prudent to act as the liaison between regimental commands where needed. In order to prevent potential difficulties arising, the individual commissars assigned by the commissariat to Death Corps regiments have a tendency to be more politically minded than most, and often go on to serve with other troublesome regiments, such as those from feral worlds or forces raised on ecclesiarchy worlds, where fanaticism runs high. Each Death Corps soldier is fully trained to the standards expected for combat readiness set down by the Departamento Munitorum. Particular emphasis is placed on hazardous environment survival and endurance, as well as physical and mental resilience. Each Death Corps soldier is also proficient in the use of all basic Imperial Guard weaponry, the use of grenades and explosives, and the rapid and skilled construction of trench works and defenses. Their hand-to-hand training is also exemplary, bayonet drills being practiced from childhood. Accuracy is secondary in Death Corps weapons training when compared to fire discipline. The ability to maintain continuous fire as part of an infantry formation is considered to be of paramount importance. Character of the Death Corps guardsmen is also of note. They have a tendency to be highly insular, unemotional, and often uncommunicative, to the point of silence outside of their duties. They have a well-earned reputation as grim and dour soldiers. The average Krieg soldier will also display a high degree of fatalism and an unusual morbidity of habit. Death Corps guardsmen are known to carry relics, ossuaries of bone or other memento mori, as a form of religious observance to honor the fallen. Unfortunately, this psychology serves to foster isolationism, often having the effect of generating suspicion and ill repute with other Imperial Guard regiments. The advantages of the character of a Death Corps soldier to higher command are obvious. Each is highly disciplined, self-sufficient, morally reliable, and more than willing to die in service to the Emperor. It must be noted, however, that the unusual will to endure hardships can have the result of Death Corps units fighting on against overwhelming odds until lost, even where a tactically expedient withdrawal would be wiser. One of the most unusual features of the Death Corps regiments is the replacement of battlefield medics found in most Imperial Guard regiments with the individuals known as quartermasters. The quartermaster's role has its roots in Krieg's own war-torn past. In that merciless war, the recovery of the arms and war gear of the fallen was a necessity, while field medicine and battlefield triage was a luxury that could be seldom afforded for the more seriously wounded. So it was that in Krieg's war, a soldier that could not be readily brought back to the fray, or at least retreat on his own, was considered a liability. And to such unfortunates, the blessings of the Emperor's peace was given, an honorable field execution. This heavy task, along with the recovery and redistribution of the fallen soldier's equipment, was the responsibility of the quartermaster cadre, and remains so to this day. Quartermasters are chosen from the ranks of the Death Corps by selection for particular faith and mental aptitude, and occasionally from individuals that have survived against the odds. Quartermasters are given additional training in field medicine, basic tech lore, and extensive indoctrination into Krieg's denomination of the Imperial cult. In the modern Death Corps, in addition to the ministration of emergency treatment to injured guardsmen and the redistribution of arms, the quartermasters also assist in evaluating the progress of ongoing battles and relay this data to their officers and command. They perform this function by monitoring ammunition expenditure, rates of attrition, counting enemy guns, and so forth. Above all, they still retain the function in the deliverance of final rites on the battlefield to soldiers they judge too badly wounded to continue, and it is the generally held belief that the skull mask representing Krieg's struggle is the last sight a dying trooper should see. Off the battlefield, a quartermaster's task is never complete as he moves through the detritus of battle, salvaging any equipment he can, from las guns and ammunition to great coats, boots, and rebreather units. Another one of the most justly famous of the unique formations found within the Krieg forces are the Death Riders. Their most singular aspect is the nature of the Death Rider mounts, the legendary Krieg steed. A highly adapted form of the original Terran horse, this animal is now the product of extreme genetic engineering, tailored for strength, endurance, and aggression, with numerous additional biosculpted organs that allow them to survive on the most polluted and toxic battlefields. VAT grown on Krieg under the auspices of the Adeptus Mechanicus, the animals are further augmented with subdermal organic armor, osmotic lungs, and a fully integrated drug injection system rigged with a potent mixture of stimulants, pain blockers, and palliatives. The end result is that the Krieg steed is capable of incredible levels of endurance and environmental tolerance. The Krieg steed is also a weapon in its own right, with its chemically enhanced aggression centers triggered at the rider's command, and virtually impossible to incapacitate short of massive bodily trauma. The Death Riders form a special cadre within the Krieg regiments, and their inductees are chosen not only on the grounds of aptitude, but also for independent thought and initiative. Many future officers are drawn from the ranks of their survivors. Death Riders are equipped with a variety of sidearms and saber blades, in addition to the signature explosive-tipped lance found in other similar units. Death Rider companies are used both for battlefield reconnaissance, replacing the Sentinel's traditional role in the siege regiments, and as shock troops, using their speed and impact to smash through enemy lines. They are commonly used in the role of reserves, held back to break counterattacks or press a breakthrough themselves. They have gained their bloodiest reputation, among other Imperial Guard regiments, for their merciless pursuit of fleeing enemy troops. The Krieg regiments maintain and train a strong and sizable force of grenadiers, forming an elite force within the Death Corps. They are drawn from veterans and survivors of decimated squads and platoons. An officer, watchmaster, or commissar selects each grenadier for service. They are principally used by Death Corps regiments in a heavy infantry role to form the leading edge of assault waves and smash key enemy defense points during a wider attack. Many grenadiers consider themselves already martyred in the Emperor's service and will not falter in their onslaught, regardless of the odds ranged against them. Intended for deployment where the fighting is fiercest, Death Corps grenadiers are equipped with heavy carapace armor and are armed with turbo-discharge hellguns linked to a high-capacity power cell worn on the back. They carry numerous anti-personnel and anti-tank grenades as standard. Breaking with conventional stormtrooper training, they are never deployed by grav chute and instead often carry the brunt of an initial advance on foot or as small tactical units in rapid-moving Centaur carriers. Fatality rates among the Death Corps grenadiers are very high, but it is considered an honor to be chosen to join their ranks. Their high standards of training and equipment, coupled with their mental resilience, ranks the Death Corps grenadiers among the most proficient soldiers the Imperial Guard has to offer. The Death Corps of Krieg are infamous across Segmentum Obscurus for their stoic and hardy infantry. They are men recruited and trained to brave the worst war zones, using a doctrine of trench warfare to wear down their enemies in long campaigns of attrition. Whilst the infantry are the backbone of these tactics, the Death Corps utilize many other arms in support. The light and heavy artillery have a major role to play in softening up the enemy, as do supporting tanks and the Death Rider cavalry. Another of these arms of the Death Corps are the engineers. Like grenadiers, engineers support Krieg campaigns in a specialist role. Krieg operations often require large amounts of engineering work, and whilst all infantry can dig trenches, deep dugouts and mining requires expert knowledge. The Engineer Corps provides this knowledge, specializing in subterranean warfare, digging shafts, tunnels, and saps to undermine the enemy's strong points and launch surprise raids behind enemy lines. Krieg engineer squads carry a lot of technical equipment, like geothermic ore specs, surveyors, breaching torpedoes and melter charges, as well as hand-digging equipment. They also have access to heavier cutting equipment and mole launchers. They are as much miners as they are soldiers, digging forward from the front lines with deep shafts to bypass enemy defenses, set large explosive mines below positions, or dig sap trenches. Saps are shallow tunnels which are dug to just below the surface, allowing a squad to blow an entrance to the surface and quickly assault an enemy position without crossing no man's land. Warfare underground is brutal and merciless, with each soldier facing the possibility of a slow, lingering death. Trapped underground by an enemy countermine, or a furious and bloody close assault when tunnels collide. In the confined conditions of tunnels, casualties are always very high. Death Corps engineers use a specialized form of explosive charge, known as a breaching torpedo, commonly known as a mole launcher. The breaching torpedo is carried inside a shoulder-mounted launch tube which clamps into the ground or the side of a tunnel. Once locked into place, the torpedo is launched and burrows through the ground. The torpedo itself is an advanced piece of equipment, carrying a powerful drill in its nose. It also contains a small power field generator, helping it slice through rock with ease, along with a guidance system linked to a control panel, which is used to guide the torpedo towards its target. Once the torpedo is under its target, it burrows up to the surface and then explodes, allowing attacks from the vulnerable underside of a bunker or building. The breaching torpedo's main use is for blasting into enemy tunnels. Once an enemy mine or shaft has been located, a torpedo can be launched, guided to the target, then detonated, causing a sudden catastrophic collapse. If you are still listening, thank you. I hope you enjoyed my brief narration of the death cause of Krieg's Law. If you enjoyed the video, please don't forget to like and subscribe. I wish you a good day or a good night wherever you are.